sunny sky was smiling when the river turned to blood. The pantry's full of frogs and all our nostrils full of bugs. With the boil on my thighs, clouds of locusts hid the sun. There must have been a why, but I don't see a smoking gun. So it goes, so it goes. And it might not help to know, but so it goes.
Well, hey everybody, welcome back to Redemption's Table. Glad you're with us. I'm Robert Barge, your host. We just heard the first part of a song by singer-songwriter Jay Lind. The name of the song is So It Goes, and that can be found on Jay's 2021 album, The Land of Canaan. It's an incredible album by a gifted storyteller, and I encourage you to check out all of Jay's music on whatever music platform you happen to listen to music. So It Goes, Jay Lind, and we will hear the rest of that song at the end of today's episode. And sometimes we engage in conversation with special guests here at Redemption's Table after sharing a table at a restaurant. Sometimes we visit with guests online, and sometimes, like today, we host what I call an appetizer episode, where in a shorter time frame, we introduce a word, a concept, a thought that will hopefully create an appetite within you to explore, enjoy, and live around a Redemption's Table of your own. I like words. I'm drawn to words. They catch my attention, especially when, as I'm sure many of you can relate, suddenly you keep encountering a word you've not thought much about before. And it's like everywhere you go, every conversation you have, every book you read, the same word keeps popping up. For the last year or so, I keep running into these twin words, curate and curator. Now, if you listen to this podcast on a regular basis, you've probably heard me talk about a surprise discovery I made back in December of 2021. I even mentioned it in last week's episode. I was flying back from Dallas one Friday afternoon after I'd spent a week hiking in Arches National Park. I planned to land in Dallas and drive back to Alabama from there that evening, but I made a change of plans, decided to spend another night with my son and his family who live north of Dallas. And as I'm driving up the interstate towards his house, I see a billboard announcing an art exhibit at the Dallas Museum of Art. The exhibit was titled Van Gogh and the Olive Groves. Now, Vincent Van Gogh is my favorite artist, and this unique exhibition brought together 15 paintings Van Gogh created between June to December of 1889. These were paintings of the olive groves located near the mental asylum at Saint-Rémy, where Van Gogh had voluntarily placed himself within the asylum. And this was the first time ever these paintings had been brought together since Van Gogh painted them. For 132 years, these paintings had been separated in various museums and private homes of collectors. And this all began, the concept of having this art exhibit, all began as the brainchild of Nicole R. Myers, the senior curator of European art at Dallas Museum of Art. So I want to say thank you, Nicole, for curating that wonderful event. Now, to curate is to bring together something unique, sometimes something that has never been brought together before or has been apart for a long, long time. It may have all originated from the same source, in this case like Van Gogh's paintings. It may have all originated from the same source or from the same creator, but it had been a long time in coming back around to one specific place. The verb curate and the noun curator both find their source and are borrowed from the Latin word curator, which means one who looks after, superintendent, guardian. and also from the Latin curare, which means to watch over and attend. And here's another interesting connection. A curate is a member of the clergy, either in charge of or assisting a church parish. So in that way, a curate is like a pastor, a shepherd, a minister. Now, one final word connection before we get to the point. The words curiosity, curious, and curios also can be found in the same family tree of curator and curate. Now, to possess curiosity is to be careful and inquisitive. And when such curiosity leads to discovery and a treasure, that curio, can be something considered novel, rare, or sometimes uniquely bizarre. Now, I hope all of that has piqued your curiosity. Because if it has, hopefully you are in for a big takeaway in the next few moments. I want to challenge you and encourage you to curate your life, to become a curator of your life, and encourage others to do the same. Now, in the biblical book of Proverbs, Proverbs 4:23, it says this, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." This is a proverb with a much-needed warning to it. Be watchful. Be careful what you take into your heart. Why? Because your heart is the wellspring that flows into and nourishes not only your life, but the lives of your family and the lives of those you influence. Another way to say this, don't poison your water source. Don't poison your thoughts. Don't poison your heart. So the challenge to curate your life is to flip the warning of guard your heart into a positive, proactive mindset. To curate your life means to look for the incredible discoveries that are coming your way all the time. I love how James 1:17 puts it, and this is a verse you will hear me quote often. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." If it's good, you can trace back the source. If it's good, the headwaters are in heaven. If it's good, it's coming from God. Now, in order for you and me to curate our lives, I've found it best to let our Creator do the curating. Let the Creator become your curator. I mean, this is better than having an interior decorator. Let the Creator become your true interior decorator. Here's a few personal examples. And let me just pause right here and say, many of the curios, the intangible things or treasures I have discovered, began in a moment like this, where I heard somebody say something that sparked curiosity in my spirit, that evolved out of a conversation or just listening to a conversation or listening to a podcast. If you listened to Rembrandt Is in the Wind last week with Russ Ramsey, you heard him say how a favorite artist will introduce you to his friends and you'll discover other artists. And that is so true. Whether we're talking art, books, film, nature, Jesus, etc. Let's talk books for a moment. A little over 25 years ago, I discovered Frederick Buechner, who is one of my all-time favorite authors. I discovered Buechner because I noticed how often other authors and other books I read were quoting him. And as an aside, I've also noticed how seldom the more popular authors and speakers of our day are often not being quoted at all. I've just about read everything, every book that Frederick Buechner has written. He's an incredible author, and I encourage you to check him out. Let's talk music. Over 35 years ago, I was introduced to my favorite singer-songwriter, Rich Mullins. I was drawn to Rich's songs, to the depth of them. Now, I'll have to say, it wasn't that I was deep. It was God's Spirit nudging me, taking me deeper into the wellsprings of my heart, and using Rich's music to do it. And after listening to Rich for 35 years, I have to say God is still doing that. Or let's talk birds. One February morning last year, my curiosity raised a question. I wondered if anyone had developed an app to recognize bird songs, bird calls. And I discovered, yes, they have. And ever since I downloaded the Cornell Labs Merlin Bird ID app, my brain is not only curated to hear birds all the time now, I can also identify and often look for them and see them because I know what I'm looking for. And I thought it was really cool just a few weeks ago when I was hanging out with my grandson, Indy, that he too, as a three-year-old, was hearing those birds. And that speaks to wonder and curiosity, something which we all have wired into our DNA, but unfortunately we lose as we become absorbed by too much indoor online time. And I pray Indy and all my other grandkids, I pray that they always hear the music of the earth going on around them. And I pray you do too. Well, those are three examples, and I could just go on and on. I could tell you how I discovered another of my favorite authors, Mark Batterson, who is also one of my favorite speakers, and all the discoveries I have made since through Mark and the National Community Church. I mean, right now I'm reading a book sparked by a quote Mark shared from a cognitive neuroscientist, David Strayer, who talks about a phenomenon in science called the three-day effect. That it takes 3 days in wilderness, out in nature, it takes 3 days in the wild to reset our brains. And after 3 days, our ability to problem solve goes up. Our inductive reasoning goes up. We start thinking outside the box. I know the reality of this firsthand because I often visit our national parks, and every time I go into one of our national parks, any extended length of time, it usually takes me about 3 days to kind of leave all the noise from the world behind. But I tell you, after those 3 days, I start hearing God more clearly out there on the periphery of Eden, out in His world. In 3 days, I hear Him more clearly than I might receive clarity in 3 weeks of normal living. I mean, it's like oxygen to my life. It's like a Topo Chico to the wellsprings of my heart. So I just want to close by encouraging you, become a curator of your life. Look for, follow the breadcrumbs of the bread of life. Jesus said, He's the bread of life. Follow His breadcrumbs. See where the creator and the perfecter of your life is leading you. Listen to your conversations. Listen to people who are talking to you. Be open to something good you have yet to discover. Renew and rekindle your three-year-old wonder. Get out to where the three-day effect can get in. As Ted Lasso would say, be curious, not judgmental. And know for yourself the truth of the promise that Jesus offers in John 10:10. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, the life, life with all caps. Know that I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, overflowing, gushing out, a torrent of incredible wonder. Curate your life, my friend. Curate your life and get ready to kayak into some beautiful territory. Get ready to be surprised. Well, thanks once again for tuning in. And if you have never done this before, if you've never reviewed this podcast or followed this podcast wherever you're listening now, especially if you are listening in on Spotify or Apple Podcast, would you take just a moment, write a review, or rate the podcast? What that will do is it will help others find Redemption's Table. So thanks for doing that in advance. We're on our way out, and here are the final two verses of J. Lynn's song, So It Goes. Until next week.
Well, the devil and the angels played a game to test the weak. The devil bet on reason and the angels bet on me. So now I'm naked as a newborn and I'm laden with disease. There might have been a why, but I feel like they're guinea pig. So we go. So it goes, and it might not help to know, but so it goes. So it goes, and in some way I'm not alone, and so it goes. While sweating in Gethsemane, I prayed one final prayer to find the crack in everything, the truth within the dare. Now I'll take up this old cross to see just how much I can bear. There might not be a why, but I don't know, I don't care. So it goes, so it goes.